Coming up on Life is a Festival.
When you feel the timing just right, you're still in control, and you can draw in this orgasmic upward draw. But if you go up to 9 and 10, that means you ejaculation. So that's why if you are too early in a doubt set, the food not cooked. When you 9 and 10, the food is overcooked. You spoil the food. Okay, 7 and 8, it's cooked just right. That's it. Now, the energy is just right is so important because you feel arousal, orgasm, but you still in control. Because when you say you pass the point of no return, you are not in control. It's a good practice because you have so many organs. You have to always maintaining a balance. Make sure that everything is not too salty, and not too sour, and not too sweet. You have to be find a balance of things. That is what the Tao practice is. Find a balance.
Hello, my friends and fellow travelers. Welcome back to Life is a Festival. My name is Eamon Armstrong, and I am your host. A little note on the name of this podcast. You may be wondering at times, Eamon, where are the festivals? This podcast seems like it's about sex, or drugs, or just strange adventures around the world. And just to be clear, this program is intended to help us make our lives feel the open-hearted, experimental freedom we feel at festivals. So sometimes we talk about festivals, other times like today, we talk about other tools, technologies, and practices that allow us to be more open and more free with our identities and with each other. So just so you know, today doesn't really talk a lot about festivals, but it does talk about sex. And if sex is something that triggers you, maybe the sexual kung fu episode is not yours. So be warned. This is going to be broken up into two episodes. So this is Sexual Kung Fu Yang, and then the following episode with Jillian Reed, who is the woman senior instructor at Tao Garden, will be the Sexual Kung Fu Yin. And just because one is yang and one is yin doesn't necessarily mean that a man would not be interested in the yin, quite the opposite, or a woman would not be interested in the yang. So yes, this is going to be a little bit more about a male body. The next episode will be a little bit more about a woman's body, but I think we can learn a lot from both. A note about inclusivity, queerness, and gender fluidity. So ancient Taoist practices are known for being a bit binary. I mean, yin yang. But within the binary, there is fluidity, and we will talk about that on the show. I endeavor to be highly inclusive to all in this program, and I may not get it right all the time, so please forgive me if that is the case. I think those are all the caveats I have before we begin. So I decided to go to Tao Garden outside of Chiang Mai in northern Thailand to study a practice of sexual kung fu with Master Mantak Chia. Now, if you're familiar with Mantak Chia, it is likely through his very famous and popular book, The Multi-Orgasmic Man, which is how I was first introduced to his work. Mantak Chia is an esteemed Taoist teacher who has written 60 books and specializes in the alchemy of erotic energy for the revitalization of the brain and organs and for general well-being. And that's pretty cool. So I wanted to go check it out. Furthermore, as is always the case for me, and I imagine often the case for you if you are a listener to this program, I have been working on a process in my own being. After Burning Man this year, I decided to go into a period of erotic detox, or celibacy, if you want to call it that, for a while. And in fact, I did full semen retention, completely pressed pause on my sexuality for 90 days prior to entering this workshop. The reason I did that is I wanted to have more clarity on the way sexual energy worked in my body by not following the pathways that I had developed since being a horny teenager. I just wanted to see what happened if I pressed pause on that. And the metaphor for this is allowing the muddy water to settle, which comes from Buddhism and the Stoics. Epictetus of the Stoics, actually my favorite Stoic, Epictetus, because he's the one who said life is a festival. He used the Pythagoras allegory of life as a festival. We'll do an episode on this eventually. But Epictetus said that we have to let the water in the bowl settle. The Buddhists say we have to let the silt come to rest at the bottom of the glass. Only then can we see through it. Only then will we find clarity. So that's what I tried to do. And it turned out that just on exactly 3 months from this pause, Master Mantak Chio was offering his yearly retreat, Taoist Secrets of Love, at the splendid property he teaches at Tao Garden. And I decided to go and check it out. So the following two episodes are what I have learned and which I hope will be helpful to you. There's a couple of things that I want to make clear before we start. Mantak Chia is of Chinese descent and raised in Thailand, and he may be a little bit difficult to understand at times, so I wanted to out the gate clarify a little bit of terms for you. First of all, we are talking about a Taoist perspective, which has a lot to do with this idea of qi, which is an energy that cycles through everything and particularly cycles through the human body. You may be familiar with acupuncture or qigong. These are processes of moving qi through the body for healing and for optimal presence and function in the world. And this is based on the five elements theory or five phase theory of traditional Chinese medicine, where essentially you have five organ systems. They're named after the yin organ in the system. They have a corresponding yang organ. But what is important for you to know is that there are five and they relate to each other. Taoist cosmology is all about relationships, as you might know from the yin and yang concept. So the five organs are the heart, the lungs, the liver, kidney, and spleen. And these correspond with five seasons. So the heart is summer. The heart is also fire. The spleen is an interesting time. It's the harvest time. Also, it's the time between seasons, depending on which sort of cosmology you're using. But I tend to think of it as the harvest time. And that relates to earth. The lungs are autumn, relate to metal. Kidneys are water in the winter. And wood, the liver, is spring. And it's actually super interesting. I would definitely recommend getting down on five elements. I learned about it when I did a yin yoga teacher training and obviously went much deeper here, including learning some stuff about the relationships within my organs and my body. So a starting place here is that in the Taoist perspective, we have yin and yang, which are, they're really perspectives in a way. And a way of looking at yin and yang is the analogy of the mountain. So the sunny side of the mountain is yang and the shady side is yin, but the sun moves, so they change. And so we can look at binaries in our lives, night and day, masculine, feminine. We can look at them as yin and yang. And so there's a lot of talk of yin and yang today. One of the main teachings of the course is something called the microcosmic orbit, and we'll talk about that in the conversation. But essentially, the microcosmic orbit is a process of gathering sexual energy in your dantian, which is the area just below your navel, considered the sea of qi, and taking that energy and just shooting it up the back of your spine, kind of like a kundalini sort of thing. You use the sacrum to kind of like pump it up to the top of your head, and then you breathe out, letting it run down the front of your body, and that creates an orbit. You're supposed to put your tongue behind your teeth, and this creates an orbit of qi. And Mantak Chia talks about this as a way of orbiting sexual energy in your body. And in a male body, the practice, which is very compelling because the promise is multi-orgasms, which is, it's quite a promise, is essentially instead of ejaculating, you draw the energy up your spine. And that allows you to not lose so much energy ejaculating, which is basically your whole body wants to make a baby. And if you are not making a baby, then that's quite an expenditure of energy. So that's the microcosmic orbit. We're going to talk a bit about something called a Kirsai treatment, and I'll wait for the show to tell you what that is. But that was the most impactful thing. I had a 60-year-old master Thai masseuse give me this incredible Kirsai massage. And her name is Som. She's so charming, and she was incredibly helpful. And so you'll hear a bit about that on the show. So this is my interview with Master Mantak Chia, the sexual kung fu yang episode. And on it, we'll talk about the inner smile technique, qigong, five elements theory. We'll talk about Mantak Chia's Christianity and how it influenced his Taoist teachings. We'll talk about yin and yang, masculine, feminine, and the place of gender fluidity in Taoism. We'll discuss the microcosmic orbit, the Kirsai massage, We'll talk about Taoist perspectives on sexual addiction. We'll talk about something called the three gates, which is a way of pleasing a woman, which I think is important for you to know. So keep your ear out for the three gates. If you have women bodies that you wish to pleasure, it's a way to do so. And then we end with some of the questions that you might have around, do psychedelics have a place in the Tao? How do we approach this idea of a spiritual marketplace with all of these different teachings and practices? So Master Mantak Chia is a remarkable teacher, renowned spiritual leader. He was considered, I think he's number 18 of the 100 most spiritually influential people in something called the Watkins Review. And I don't know what that is, but it sounds important. He's also named twice as Qigong Master of the Year by the International Congress of Chinese Medicine. He has published 60 books. He is the founder of the Universal Healing Tao System, and he's taught throughout the world to tens of thousands of students of the Tao. And he has created Tao Garden in northern Thailand, where he teaches and where I recently spent time training with him. Check out this episode, and then I will quickly release the Sexual Kung Fu Yin episode, so you'll have a chance to deepen your understanding and also to understand more about women's relationship to this. When we got stuff like jade eggs, which I've never understood a jade egg, but I get it now. Very interesting. Anyway, I hope that you find this conversation rewarding and that it helps you examine how you might use the energy in your body, particularly erotic energy, to make your life a little bit more like a festival. To me, the erotic is actually about freedom. How erotic you are is what degree of freedom you have to express yourself in this particular energetic form. And it can look different ways on different days, but there's a lot of eros in spaciousness of being. And my hope in my training, and my hope to share it with you, the reason I'm sharing it with you, is to help you find a little more freedom, a little more spaciousness, and a little more agency to do amazing things in the world, whether that is sexual, creative, of service. However you want to use this energy, I hope that you come away from this conversation feeling more agency to use it as you wish. And now, here is the Grandmaster himself, Mantak Chia.
Master Chia, how do you prefer to be called?
Oh, you can call me Master Chia.
Master Chia. Welcome to my show, Life is a Festival. You have been teaching an entire course. It's almost over. And so I'm very honored that you're taking an hour of your time to speak to me and our listeners. It means a lot to me.
Yeah.
So just to start, how's your energy today? How's your chi today?
Very good. I have to maintain it every day.
Yeah.
Because I'm teaching and ongoing, yeah.
Do you you wake up in the morning and do a practice every day? Is that how you maintain energy?
Yeah, so we have the Tao practice. So we have the inner smile, smiling to yourself, to the major. So we are more aware of internal organs. So that's why in the Tao we believe that we have five major organs that store soul and spirit. And they're holding the negative and positive emotional. Yeah. If we don't do anything with these five major organs, they will have a conflict cycle. So that's why the heart is fire and the spleen is earth. And the lung is metal and the kidney is water and the liver is wood. So it's representing our organs connecting to the nature. It's a 1,000 years the map out. Which organ connecting with what nature? I think it's all come from internal meditation. And the focus is because the Chinese medicine back to 4,000 or 5,000 years, so they already understand each organ and each energy and each connection, how these organs work together as a team and how the soul and spirit store in different five major organs. So we call five soul and spirit. So it's a very detailed study and they map out what emotional inside there and they have a practice. Okay.
And do you do a practice for each organ, each of these five elements, these five organs? Do you do a specific practice every morning as part of your Qigong?
Yes, and that is the beginning of what we call inner smile.
The inner smile?
Yeah, we call inner smile creating cycle. So in the Tao said, when you put all the organs into a creating cycle, that means they have a certain relationship. But if you don't do that, we have conflict ourselves.
I know that.
And Tao believe that the conflict is inside our organs and the soul and spirit. Inside us, five major organs, they have conflict. The fire in the heart can melt the metal, lungs. Metal can cut the wood, that's the liver. Liver, a wood elements, can collusion the earth, that is spleen. And the spleen, earth, can block the water, and that is kidney, and back into the heart again. So that is the five major organs. That either we make them in a creating cycle, but if we no need to do anything, we are automatically into the conflict cycle.
And you know, Master Chia, I didn't believe any of this before I came here. I am a skeptical, conceptual Western mind. I had a Kersai treatment while I was here, and we'll talk about it in a little bit, but I believe it now. Mm-hmm. I really believe the conflict of the organ systems really affects not just our physical health, but also our psychological health.
Yes.
And a lot of what you're teaching is this inner alchemy, how to nourish organs, how to nourish the mind, and largely with sexual energy, which is part of how your work has become famous in the West.
Yes. Yeah.
And there's a lot to talk about today, but I wanted to ask you in the beginning. So your energy is very good. You do a morning practice. You've been doing this for 50 years. I'm curious, just by sitting next to me and seeing me, can you tell if my energy is good today?
That means look at your face is good. Your face more red and more happy. And I think that you came here, you know, you have a much better environment and all the good treatment and see all the nice people here. You're happy.
I have definitely found this to be a transformative experience to be here in Tao Garden, to be doing morning Qigong, evening Qigong, attending your lectures, especially the treatments, the special massage stuff. So we'll talk about it today. First of all, I just wanted to ask you a couple questions about you.
Yes.
You're Chinese, born in Thailand.
Yes.
And you had a Baptist father who died in World War II. Mm-hmm. You had a missionary mother. So you were raised Christian. I'm curious, are there any of the Christian teachings that you feel influence your Taoist teaching today?
That is so many definitely. Years later?
Yeah?
Because the Christian spiritual work, like worshiping, let me pray to God, ask God forgiveness, and try to be a good person. It make me practice it since I am very small. And I read Bible, I don't know how many times, because my mother is a missionary. So my morning routine is read Bible. That's it.
So that started you with having a morning routine because you were doing that every morning.
Pray. I have to pray when we eat three meals, and I have to pray in the morning, and I pray confession in the evening. And that is because my family is three generation a missionary. That's it, in Thailand. And my mother continue on doing missionary, and my sister also. I mean, I have a sister. She also married a pastor. So my mother have ambition that either me or either my sister. Actually, my mother haven't expect my sister to be doing that, but they expect me to be a missionary. When I'm small, I'm very eager. I want to be a pastor. I want to be preaching and all these things. And after I grow up and I study like the Tao and the Chinese and Qigong and all these things, I say, I like this a lot, okay? And they also teaching how to be good internally and how to learn organ by organ, what emotional. It's very systematically practiced that exactly the same theory as Christianity, but they have more detail, 1, 2, 3, not how to do it. Yeah. So I teaching this Taoism, my family, they're all Christian. My relative and everything, they said, what are you doing? I said, I'm teaching Tao. And I have the same teaching of doing good, but turn more internally. So there are many practices that is very specified, like the inner smile, make the organ in the creating cycle. Get rid of the negative and put positive back. And the negative that you put is you always learn how to put them under the ground. But in our society, when we have conflict, we are dumping garbage. You dump garbage on me, you dump emotional on me, I dump emotional back to you. So we become a dumping garbage society. And it's so many emotional go on all the time like that.
You could say that your Christianity taught you a desire to be good.
Yes.
And Taoism teaches you how to heal your body so that you show up in the world good.
Right.
So you're not dumping emotions on people.
Right.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. How did you meet Yi Ying, your teacher?
My master told me, said, the master look for you. It's not you look for master. I said, I look for master. He said, because you are looking for master and you get it. You know, when the communists took over, a lot of Tao master escaped. Because Tao master mostly have students and a lot of students there in Asia and everything. So when the communists took over, the first thing they closed out all the Tao temple. And all the Buddhism temple, they closed down.
And destroyed many of them as well.
Oh, destroyed. And some of them, they burned the book and killed some of the very influenced people. So that's why whoever can run, they run. So that's why in China, a very good master, they all run. But they still have a lot of master in the mountain and everything. Since the situation in the country is not very good, just stay in the mountain, in the cave, and just do whatever they practice, easier than back to the world. So there is a lot of them. But those can escape. There is only way they can go is Asia. Because they still speak Chinese and they speak Mandarin. I mean, there are a lot of Chinese descendants when the big famine in China, they all escape. Because you have no food to eat and dying. When you have war, nobody producing food, famine come. It's always happened like that in China because too big population. Yeah.
So Yi Ying escaped China and he was looking for you as you were looking for him.
Yes.
And he was teaching something called Dragon's Gate Taoism. Can you tell me what Dragon's Gate Taoism is? Or is that correct?
It's a sex. Dragon Gate now is a sex, but he is one part of it, but is not very much involved with it. Dragon Gate now, they have a lineage. But most of the people practicing it, they directly or indirectly have connection with the Dragon Gate because they are gathering so many teaching from all that we call five major mountains. Because the five major mountains have Buddhism and Taoism and the Confucius, so the three lineage. So now they become three, become one. Yeah, combine them together.
In Taoism, we can think about yin and yang as relative to each other. I love the analogy of the mountain. So the sun comes over the mountain. The light side that the sun hits is yang. The dark side is yin, but the sun moves, so then the other side becomes yang. The other side becomes yin. So yin and yang are these opposing forces. As I told you, this is the yang episode, and I'm going to be speaking to Jillian about the yin episode. Yang is often connected to the masculine and yin to the feminine. And I wanted to speak about the experience of this sexual kung fu for a male body. But the first question that I had is, how does this concept of masculine and feminine in yin yang, how does that meet this modern gender fluid movement? There are many people these days who are queer, who are gender fluid, people who are transgender. How does that relate to these concepts of yin and yang? And how do people find themselves in these yin and yang concepts when it doesn't seem to be so simply masculine, male, feminine, female?
So in the Tao practice is that in this world, we have male energy move the female energy and female energy moving the male energy. Yin push the yang, yang push the yin. Nobody win and nobody lose. And that is the whole concept of the Tai Chi, the yin yang. That's why in the Tao said male and female, they have equal power. Yeah.
Each of us born with both masculine and feminine energies?
Yes.
We're speaking about sexual practices, mm-hmm. whether that's a solo cultivation or making love. How does that relate to, say, a man has sex with a man, a woman has sex with a woman? Do these practices still work with queer couples?
I have this question asked me a lot when I teach in San Francisco.
That's a San Francisco question.
Yeah. And I say that you already know. I look at you, couple, they come, they also will come, two men will also come. I say, I look at you, you are the king and he is the queen, okay? So you already look by your physical, your saying, your acting is a king. That means they are young. And the other one is more yin. If yang and yang, they're not going to go together, okay? So they have a king and they have a queen. And that is you already say yin yang. And now if you have king and king stay together, they're not going to be together. So the other man is more yin and they can stay together. Yeah.
So I have a skeptical Western mind. When I come to this practice, it's very hard for me to feel the energy. So I have to do a lot of practice. For people like me, what is the first step to approaching this inner alchemy, this sexual kung fu? What is the first thing that someone should do if they're approaching these practices?
They have the requirement that they have to do the basic training. So they do the inner smile, turn inwardly, make the five major organ work in a team, let go the negative emotional first. They have to recognize each organ, like the lung have sadness and depression. So they have to be aware of the negative and positive. So lung is negative, is sadness, depression, and the good energy is courage. So they have to learn. So that is the first step. So now we not get rid of it. We are fire balance. So you smile to your lung, and you can see that we have courage and balancing with sad and depression. You have no way to get rid of sadness and depression and grief. They're going to stay with you. But we don't know when they're going to come up. So that's why the practice started to make you aware of what emotional. When I grew up in a Christian, I know it's only one thing that is love in the heart, and the rest I don't know where is it. And I know that I'm born to be a sinner. So I'm supposed to be punished because I'm the sinner. So I try to do good in order to be from the sinner, I can move to a lesser sin. But in the Tao practice, we say the same thing. We're born with negative and positive. We're born with it. So in the Tao, say all you have to do is make the negative and positive balance. So yin-yang balance. Yin puts the yang, yang puts the yin.
And that's the starting place? The starting place is to work on creating that balance?
Right.
And so one of the things you've taught us first in this course is something called the microcosmic orbit. I first became aware of you because of your book, The Multi-Orgasmic Man. Mm-hmm. And lots of people came to know you that way because you were teaching in that book with your co-authors that I could separate my orgasm from my ejaculation mm-hmm. and I could be multi-orgasmic.
Yes.
Wow, that sounds fun. Mm-hmm. I would like to do that. And the first step for that, you said, was to create an understanding of this microcosmic orbit. Can you tell me what the microcosmic orbit is, the energy that moves through
in
your body?
In the Tao practice, we say we have a yang channel that is start from the coccyx up to the sacrum, up to the lumbar, up to the thoracic, up to the neck, and to the brain. So that channel we call the yang channel. And if from there coming down to the palate and the tongue and coming down the front, we call the yin channel. So one yin, one yang have to be circulation. It's just like yin yang. So when this yin yang are balanced, yang move to the yin, yin put the yang, and then nobody win, nobody lose. So now we started to experience that yin yang balance. And energy moving. So in the Tao practice is that energy, yin-yang had to be balanced. When it balanced, energy will start to move. When the yang took over, the yin stopped moving. Okay. Or yin took over the yang, it stopped moving. So that's why we have to have yin-yang balance. negative, positive have to be equal. Good and evil, they have to be balanced. So in a Tao set, this is not philosophy alone, but it's a practice. Yeah.
Yeah, and the microcosmic orbit practice is we use the PC muscles, the perineum, we lift the perineum. It helps us move this yang energy up our spine, as you were saying,
yes.
The lumbar up to the top. Tongue on the top of the, behind the teeth,
yeah.
As you get to the top, mm-hmm. And then you move the energy down the front. Right.
So that is a whole procedure of opening the microcosmic, yeah.
And the microcosmic orbit is what you use to move the sexual energy through
yes.
your body.
Yeah.
And if you ejaculate, all of the energy to create a child, all of your chi, all of the material in your body is expelled and you're very tired. But if instead you can squeeze your prostate, lift your pelvic floor, and then breathe in and use your pelvic floor to shoot that energy up the back, you can actually create a cycle where the sexual energy is just moving through you.
Yes.
And you can feel orgasmic energy
right.
without ejaculating.
So the timing of what we call a 7-8, when you feel the timing just right, you're still in control, and you can draw in this orgasmic upward draw. But if you go up to 9 and 10, that means you ejaculation. So that's why if you are too early in a Tao set, the food not cooked. When you 9 and 10, the food is overcooked. You spoil the food. Okay, 7, 8, it's cooked just right. That's it. Now, the energy is just right is so important because you feel arousal, orgasm, but you still in control. Because when you say you pass the point of no return, you are not in control. The Chinese, they like the cooking. Okay, so they say, okay, you compare the cooking and it's a good practice because you have so many organs, so many things. You have to always maintaining a balance. And you have to be just like you are good shape. Make sure that everything is not too salty and not too sour and not too sweet. You have to be fine balance of things. That is what the Tao practice is. Fire balance.
Master Chia, it's kind of funny. I've been at this retreat with you and I didn't masturbate for 90 days before coming here.
Mm-hmm.
Total semen retention. And then I've been trying to practice this, but it's really hard. Getting the timing right is quite difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes it's not enough, sometimes it's too much, but then when you ejaculate, you lose all your energy. And I feel like I have less energy to do the practice because I didn't do it correctly.
Yeah. So that's why learn how to reverse the flow. And that is very important. Because in the olden time, they said reverse the flow or return the sexual energy to revitalize the brain. It's a secret method. In the olden time, it's the rich people had to pay a lot of money just to learn this return the sexual energy to revitalize the brain. We call it reverse the flow. And that is become a secret. A big secret. So that's why they call it a million point. You learn how to find the point, and that is the point of how you're going to return on the perineum. If you go beyond the 9, you're already
done.
Gone.
It's, yeah. You're done. Then, yes. Then you got to take a nap.
Right. But if you go to the 7 and 8, and that is the top, so it's very clear that, okay, 7 and 8 is you feel arousal, orgasm, you're still in control. And that is the right time, yeah.
So while I was here, I got a kind of massage called a Kersai massage. I'd never had a massage like this before.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, Master Chia, it changed me. I came here with so much anxiety, circular thoughts, pain in my stomach, and I got this massage and it went away, which is wild to me because I've had that for years. Can you explain to our audience what a Kersai massage is?
You know, we're breathing all the heavy metal every day, okay? Sometimes you pass by the factory, they have a exhaust pipe, and sometimes, in the olden time, it's so black, and they just put them all them into the space, in the sky. And heavy metal, that is causing by the factory or causing by pollution from that. The gas of the car that we drive. So all this kind of heavy metal we breathe in and it settles down in the In the organ? In the organ, it's okay. You have a big organs, okay? But some of them go down, settle down in the sexual organ. So in the man, it settle down in the testicle. Because sexual organ is the lower part. So all the heavy metal go down and settle down. So they become very fine, very fine heavy metal, blocking all the testicle, all the blood vessel. Yeah.
Well, I can tell you, so I had this testicle massage and it hurt. Wow, did it hurt. I felt pain shooting up into my kidneys.
Yes.
And it's pain, it's like massage pain. Like I felt like it was good pain, like it was helpful to me, mm-hmm. but it was very painful. And I'll give a shout out to Som, who is the lead masseuse here, a 60-year-old Thai woman who is amazing. She's so good. And I felt this pain of stuff coming out of my testicles. And honestly, an hour later, I wasn't feeling anxiety that I had felt for years, that I've been trying to deal with for years. It's remarkable. I'm surprised more people don't understand that rubbing your testicles might actually make you less anxious.
Because testicle is producing the male hormone. And a male, when we have untransforming or too much male hormone, it makes the male very anxiety, very aggressive. And that's what the male animal, they when they want sex or when the sexual hormone coming up, they're very aggressive. And I think that is also a male power. Okay, let's go and do it. There is a power, the energy, which is different from woman. It's more yin part, yeah.
Well, and I'm going to be interviewing Jillian about some of how this relates to women, women's bodies. We're speaking more of male bodies. So I'll have a link. You've written a book about the Kersai massage. So I'll have a link about that in the show notes. I just love it because it affected me so intensely. But I have a couple more questions just about the male experience. A lot of men today are suffering from addiction, sexual addiction, especially pornography addiction, but also just addiction to hookup culture, addiction to sexual fantasy. What is the Taoist remedy for sexual addiction in men?
There are nothing wrong in the Tao set. Like all the sexual media, is nothing wrong.
So there's nothing wrong with pornography in the Tao set?
All they do is they want to make money. So we have the book called Multi-Orgasm Teenagers also. So the whole key is talking about that. Parents have to step in sometime. So parents read the book and have to advise the kid, because the kid, if they're 14, 15, 16, called the teenagers. Teenagers, it start from what, 10, 11, the testosterone coming out. So that's why they have so much, teenager is so much energy, okay? And especially sexual energy. So the parent have to, sometime, you know, you cannot talk to the teenagers, very difficult, okay? So you have to be sometimes just nightly talks, and sometimes they listen, sometimes not listen. So you have to take time. In the Tao practice, you know, so they have some advice to the parent and the teenagers. There is, I mean, nothing wrong with masturbation. If you don't teach the children what involved with masturbation, the children, they will do it themselves. They learn it from their book, from their friend, from their everybody like that. So they're going to go into it, and you have no way to prevent it. Yeah.
What about an adult who's developed some kind of sexual addiction, especially porn addiction? So they watch porn, and then they can't get an erection if they want to make love. Does the sexual kung fu, Taoism, is there a response to that?
So when they watch, usually their masturbation and ejaculation. So when they're watching pornography, they can do any time, and they can masturbation sometime. One day can masturbation and ejaculation for a few times. And that kind of habits, if they don't understand it, they drain so much. And when they really want to have love, they cannot.
So it's the ejaculation that's the problem, not the pornography?
The pornography make them ejaculate, make them masturbation. And that is the sexual energy are draining out, yeah.
And how often should a man ejaculate based on his age? I know that you have a list of what
yes.
age.
So it's about 40. If you're 40 years old, it's about 20 days, something like that. And when 20 years old, we have about, I think that is 4 days. Yeah, it's the timing. So we have to look at the timetable. I don't know.
I'll put the timetable in the show notes. I'm 41, so I don't get to ejaculate for 3 weeks.
Yes. How about that? That means you can have sex many times. You learn how to control ejaculation. And when you reach 21 days, okay, honey, tonight we're going to ejaculation. That's it. Okay.
Master Chia, do you have advice according to the sexual kung fu for bringing pleasure to a woman?
So in the Tao practice, the arousal state for women is very important. Lady is water, take much longer time to have orgasm.
So she boils and we're fire, we're right. Just ready to go.
Right. And the first rule is you must please the lady first and make the lady ejaculation first. When the lady are not ejaculation first, they're very eager, want to ejaculation, and the man cannot control. Okay. And that's why we have foreplay. You can licking the nipple because it's a master gland. And the arousal state happened and started to go down to working with the clitoris. Sometimes women don't like men to touch the clitoris because it's very sensitive. Because that is what many million sensor there. But the mysterious gate, or we call the G-spot, that is where the connecting up to the prostate gland in the woman. And that is involved with the ejaculation, female ejaculation. Usually, men haven't learned anything. They don't know all these things. And they don't know where the mysterious gate or G-spot of the woman. So if they just want to use their penis alone to make the lady arousal orgasm, yes, you can, but it takes a lot of time to do that. And the lady sometimes can have orgasm, sometimes cannot have orgasm. And that's why in the Tao said, first thing, you need to spend time arousal and make the lady ejaculation first. So they can either the clitoris ejaculation or the mysterious gate ejaculation. Those things is not penis can do it.
Yeah. And this is the three gates idea, that yes. The clitoris is the first gate.
Yes.
The G-spot
yes.
is the second gate. And then the third gate is the cervix?
The cervix.
And that you can have an orgasm in that order. So a clitoral orgasm, right. Then a G-spot orgasm, and then apparently you can also have a cervix orgasm?
Yes, because when the first gate opens, second gate opens, the side of the cervix is open, we call the epic center. Mm. And the lady feel that men cannot give them the final touch of that mysterious gate, then we call the epic center. And the lady have to be on the top because the uterus must sack down and the penis can go to touch the epic center on the side of the cervix. And that time when the lady move, when the penis go up and the lady move, spiral left and right like that, now the woman get this uterus orgasm.
Wow, I can't wait to try that. Mm-hmm. So we're towards the end of the course. We've done the self-cultivation, but we haven't done the couple moving the energy between two people. Can you just share with our audience a little bit? You've done this kind of multi-orgasmic training yourself. You've learned how to raise the pelvic floor. You've learned how to squeeze the prostate to control the orgasm. You've learned how to pump that up the back, circulate it in yourself. When you're making love to someone, is it possible to run that chi energy between the two people?
Yeah, when the lady have energy flow, men is constantly have energy there if they're not ejaculation. So when the lady energy up, so now they can balancing. And when the energy balancing and harmony, now the man can control ejaculation much easier. Yeah.
So a lot of the listeners here are using psychedelics to explore. They're going to do ayahuasca. They're going to do psilocybin. A, have you ever used a psychedelic?
No.
And no, you have not? Okay. And do psychedelics work with this kind of energy work? How does the Taoist, the sexual kung fu, relate to plant medicine, to psychedelics?
We don't have all this kind of thing before. Okay. all we know that is the internal practice and all these things. So we never, in a Tao practice, we never go into all this kind of plan and all this kind of thing. We never go into it. So all my lineage is practice. Yeah. And this is a much more, that means in the ancient, they have it already. So that's why in India they have a lot, and in many American, South American, the tribe, everything, they have it, you know. But in the Tao practice, they are emphasized in practice, internal organ, your soul and spirit, your body, yeah, like that.
So a lot of people seem to approach different teachings almost like a spiritual buffet. They go and they try this teaching and they try this teaching. And I will be honest, I'm one of those people. I've tried the meditation and tried ayahuasca and that sort of thing. How do you feel about this modern culture of trying these different practices? Do you think that that's helpful?
I think that each kind of thing like the ayahuasca and all these things, it attracts this kind of people to one certain level. And I have many people that come to me, they already try out everything. Or they're looking for that, and then finally they, when they come to here, and they see that this is another way, okay. So we have some people, they stick with it, they become our instructor, become our teacher, teaching people and all these things. So we have certain people like that, yeah. One day, when they started the Tao, they're not depending all on this thing like before anymore. So we have many people that use all this kind of thing and drug and ayahuasca and all these things. When they started to do more energy, they think that they don't need that. Yeah. So they have another way to have more energy or have more higher energy and feel very high or feel good like that. Yeah.
Well, it's been a week since I did my Kersai massage, and I have not felt this good in years. And I've tried meditation and therapy and all sorts of things to make this anxiety go away, and it seems like it's gone away. Do you think it'll maybe come back? Do I have to come back and do regular? Or can I can do the testicle massage on myself?
You can do it yourself. You learn more to do. How many times you do?
I've done it twice, and then I have one more before I leave.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm going to do it for 2 hours. I'm just going to just get it all out. What do you think? 2 hours? Is that too much?
That's good. No, that means is next day your testicle is going to be pain.
I'll take pain in my balls if it means that I stop ruminating thinking.
Right. It definitely will help tremendously.
Yeah, it has really helped. Mm. We'll have links to that in the show notes. Master Chia, I know we've just scratched the surface, so there's so much more for people to learn. You've written 60 books. You have this center here in Northern Thailand, the Tao Garden, and you offer classes online. You offer things like what I came to, the Tao of Love. Can you tell us a little bit about what's upcoming, where people can connect with you, how people can get involved, learn these practices at home, or maybe come here?
Yeah, now that means the multimedia is very available everywhere. So that's why we have an online team. We set up a whole team that are working on this online, and we set up the whole online team in the website. Yeah, we gathering all the thing, all the article, all the practice, all the video into mingtechchia.com. So the people can just go in there and watch. And it's free. So people, if they're willing to watch and practice, they learn from that. Yeah.
Well, I would say that one thing that I've really gotten from my time here is that it really is all about practice. You wake up in the morning, you practice, you work on the microcosmic orbit, you work on moving this energy.
Inner smile.
Inner smile. Things, yeah. And then having these practices is really what's going to bring you the ultimate healing properties and the connection that you can have with someone by sharing erotic energy.
You get something that you think that this is good, I will stick with it and do it every day. That's all.
Yeah. What's the bare minimum that you think, if someone's just starting this, what should someone do every day?
20 minutes to 30 minutes. That is not more than 20 minutes. I do is not even 10 minutes.
And what are the things that we should be doing every day?
So I just do like inner smile.
Inner smile.
And make sure I aware my organs and I do my Dantian breathing.
Dantian, and that's the place just under the belly button where we store our sexual energy.
So you're just always breathing there. and it gives you a lot of energy to run your whole day. And your mind, your blood pressure, because when we think too much, the blood pressure go higher because we think too much on the top. We never put the mind below, under the navel. Okay, so that is the whole key.
Yeah, the Dantian stuff is really powerful. Master Chia, thank you for speaking to me. Thank you for teaching. And thank you for the Kersai massage, because frankly, it is a whole new ballgame for me.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for Life is a Festival. If you liked the show, you can support it by sharing it with your friends, following it on Spotify, or reviewing it on iTunes. If you'd like to get more involved, you can join our Facebook group, Life is a Festival, where we talk about the show and you can suggest new guests. If you really liked the show and maybe want a little bit more, visit my digital tip jar at patreon.com/lifeisafestival.com. Whatever you do, I hope today's podcast helped you make your life just a little bit more like a festival, and I'll see you on the dance floor.